is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Good morning, I'm Clinton, VK6SARC, and welcome to News West for the 14th of April 2024. Now on with the show.
Hi, this is Steve, VK6SJ, with an update from Ham College. We have now moved out of Whaleback Scout Hall, and presumably the hall has been handed back to the City of Canning by the Scouts. We have now moved into the Wollaston Scout Hall and have now completed our first foundation course last weekend, and we're now 3 weeks into our standard advanced course for 2024 from the new venue in Wollaston. A big thanks to all in the college who assisted in the move, which included a high-up crane operation to safely disassemble our 16-metre tower and store it in the new venue. We packed over 20 boxes of gear as well as disposed of a lot of gear we would never use again. A recent foundation course was booked out a month ago with a number of wait-listed attendees, and a June course now looking like being sold out early as well. We're also running a number of additional courses for various community groups between April and July that should see Ham College adding at least another 100 amateurs to our community this year. For further information on our courses and exams, as well as the venue, can be found on our website at hamcollege.org.au.
Good morning, campers. The month of May is not far away, and that means it's time to mark on the calendar the third annual Southern Electronics Group Man Up Ham Camping Weekend of the May 17th to 19th. If you haven't been before, Ham Camping is a casual weekend getaway for hams and other registered HF users like AusTravelNet and VKS737 and their significant others to drag the swag, the van or the tent down to Mayenup Sports Ground for a weekend of radio and social activity. There's plenty of room to camp. There's some big trees to throw a line over, hot showers, a camp kitchen, terrific fire pit to sit around after dark, and of course, time to sit and chat over the weekend with like-minded radio enthusiasts. Food and drinking water is BYO. The kitchen and amenities are powered, but there's no power available for campsites. It's been known to rain, fog, and then bright sunshine, often on the same day, so you need to come prepared. Camping is the usual low price of $10 per person per night. There'll be a square card reader on the weekend available, and SEG can take online payments. Boyer Brook has a great car museum and other attractions if you want to visit town 15 minutes away while you're here. We maintain a Ham Campsion Facebook page for up-to-date information, and you can contact me at VK6EK, that's Victor Kilo Sierra India X-Ray Echo Kilo at gmail.com. We hope to see you there. This is Darren, VK6EK, for the Southern Electronics Group.
Well, that's Easter been and gone. My wife and I went away for Easter, something we haven't done in a long time because of overcrowding at most places. But we went because there was a special event in Northcliffe, which is down in the south of the state. It's the centenary of the town's establishment. It was also the centenary of when my grandparents brought their family from England to settle in Northcliffe. In fact, the anniversary of their disembarking at Albany was just a few days ago. Full of good intentions, I packed all of my portable amateur radio gear into the car and caravan with a very admirable intention of working portable from some of the many national parks between Northcliffe and Augusta, which was our second destination after the Easter weekend. You know how they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions? Well, we didn't go to hell, but we did have our weekend plans completely thwarted when my wife had a fall and she spent time over the next 12 hours in two hospitals and an ambulance. While she was playing hospitals, I packed up the van and headed across to Augusta and spent the next week and a bit looking after a lame wife, and the radio gear never saw the light of day. More's the pity, but that's life, I guess. The next major outing for my caravan and portable radio gear will be at Ham Campsion at Mayenup, which is near Boyup Brook. Ham Campsion is a ham's delight because we're camped around a rather large area, each in our own BYO accommodation, in various forms such as caravans, campers, tents, swags, and some people even slept in their car. Goodness knows. The site has a good shower and toilet facilities and a camp kitchen. There's a lot to make it a good weekend for amateurs. There's plenty of space to set up and show off our radio setups or experiment with new toys. It's an amateur radio show and tell. You'll find plenty of time also to socialise around the huge fire pit. Bring your own beverages, or and your own food as far as that goes. Look for Ham Campion on Facebook or on the SEG, the Southern Electronic Group website. Coinciding with Ham Campion is the World Telecommunication Day, May the 17th, and we'll be able to trot out the AX prefix for our call signs. But before that, in about 10 days' time, we've got Anzac Day, where we can also use the AX prefix. With conditions as good as they are, you can expect to work some pile-ups, because keen QSL chasers seek the special call sign. I'm Bob VK6POP.
If you happen to listen to the right part of the 80 metre band on a Tuesday evening, you might hear something that sounds like this. The CQQRS net has been running every single Tuesday for the last 2 years and has been unbelievably popular. There are usually half a dozen, a dozen, and a couple of times up to 18 stations, popping in and out, when they can, over the 4 or 5 hours. The aim is to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment, where slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then, over time, getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or just to enjoy the banter. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed, we'd love to have you join in. The net starts at 0900 Zulu every Tuesday on 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz, and there's stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our weekly CQQRS RagChew newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via my email address on qrz.com, or you can email me direct, mark.bosma@icloud.com. That is mark.bosma@icloud.com. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So once again, Tuesdays from 0900 Zulu until late, between 3540 kHz and 3570 kHz. Cheers from Mark, VK2KI and VK6QI.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Hi, this is Steve, VK6SJ from Ham College again. I thought I'd provide my personal thoughts on the new examination process provided by ACMA from an examiner's perspective. To run an exam, we obviously need to be an accredited examiner, and many of the examiners registered with AMC transferred fairly seamlessly to become ACMA examiners, including myself. I note, looking at the current list of examiners in WA, that we have 13 examiners, including 2 qualified as specialist examiners. I can't remember how many we had before, but I don't think it was many more than that 13. Major differences between the AMC run regime and what we have now are: for normal face-to-face or remote exams, we no longer need to provide advance notice to gain exam papers, and exams can now be downloaded directly from the ACMA website as required. Exams can now be marked on the day. In fact, the ACMA expects examiners to mark the exams prior to submitting them to the ACMA. This was a major change from the older WIA-led process that many missed when the system migrated to the AMC regime, and certainly I welcome that change back to local marking of exams. Exam results are uploaded to an exams portal on the ACMA website. With local marking of exams and digital uploading of completed exams, the time from exam to getting on air should be much reduced, and is certainly easier on the wallet than before. Having assisted in running our first foundation course for this year and having an ad hoc exam to adjudicate very soon, I needed to quickly get up to speed on the whole process of organising and downloading exams, etc. I found the emailed instructions sent out by the ACMA in February, and within about 30 minutes I understood the process and was downloading and printing my first exams for the current course. All in all, I think the process is more streamlined than before, easier and cheaper to provide, and is certainly, I think, fit for purpose. It's probably a little less robust in terms of someone fiddling the system, but I'm sure 99.999% of hams will honour the system in the spirit it has provided, and we should have something that is an improvement on what we had before, although I was reasonably happy with the AMC regime as it was before. Thank you.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750, or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
You may notice that News West has been light on for content lately, and I've been playing a lot of repeat stories, but you can help us to change that by sending your stories or contributions through to newswest@vk6.net.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. The other day, I had an interesting exchange with a contest manager, and it's not the first time I've had this dance. As you might know, pretty much every weekend marks at least one on-air amateur radio contest. Following rules set out by the contest, the aim is to make a contact, or a QSO, with stations, taking note of each in a process called logging. Using logging software is one way to keep track of who you talk to. A piece of paper is another. If your station is expecting to make less than a dozen contacts per hour, paper is a perfectly valid way of keeping track. But it's likely that most contests expect you to transcribe your scribbles into electronic form, which electronic form is normally explicitly stated in the rules for that contest. While I mention rules, you should check the rules for each contest you participate in. Rules change regularly, sometimes significantly, often subtly, with little edge cases captured in updated requirements. On the software side, using electronic logging, even transcribing your paper log, can get you to unexpected results. I participated in a local contest and logged with a tool I've used before, Xlog. Contests often specify that you must submit logs using something like Cabrillo or ADIF. There are contests that provide a web page where you're expected to paste or manually enter your contacts in some specific format. Using Xlog, I exported it into each of the available formats, Cabrillo, ADIF, Tab Separated Values or TSV, and a format I've never heard of, EDI. The format, according to a VHF handbook I read, Electronic Data Interchange, was recommended by the IAIU Region 1 during a meeting of the VHF, UHF and Microwave Committee in Vienna in 1998, and later endorsed by the Executive Committee. The contest I participated in asked for logs in Excel, Word, ASCII text, or the output of electronic logging programs. Based on that, I opened up the Cabrillo file and noticed that the export was gibberish. It had entries that bore no relation to the actual contest log entries, so I set about fixing them, one line at a time, to ensure that what I was submitting was actually a true reflection of my log. So, issue number one is that Xlog does not appear to export Cabrillo or ADIF properly. The TSV and EDI files appear, at least at first glance, to have the correct information, and the Xlog internal file also contains the correct information. Much food for head-scratching. I'm running the latest version, so I'll dig in further when I have a moment. In any case, I received a lovely email from the contest manager who apologized for not being able to open up my submitted log because they didn't have access to anything that could open up a Cabrillo file. We exchanged a few emails and I eventually sent a comma-separated values or CSV file and my log was accepted. What I discovered was that their computer was, quote, helping, unquote, in typical unhelpful Clippy style by refusing to open up a Cabrillo file, claiming that it didn't have software installed that could read it, which brings me to issue number two. All these files, Cabrillo, ADIF, TSV, CSV, EDI, even Xlog's internal file are all text files. You can open them up in any text editor, on any platform, even Windows, which for reasons only the developers at Microsoft understand, refuses to open a text file if it has the wrong file extension. This, quote, helpful, unquote, aspect of the platform is extended into their email service, Outlook.com, previously called Hotmail, which refuses to download unknown files, like the Cabrillo file with a .cbr extension. With the demise of Windows Notepad, another annoying aspect has been removed, that of line endings. To signify the end of a line, macOS, Windows, and Linux have different ideas on how to indicate that a line of text has come to an end. In Windows land and DOS before it, use carriage return followed by line feed. Unix, including Linux and FreeBSD, use line feed only. OS X also uses line feed, but classic Macintosh used carriage return. In other words, if you open up a text file and it all runs into one big chunk of text, it's likely that line endings are the cause. It also means that you, and contest managers, can rename files with data in Cabrillo, ADIF, CSV, TSV, EDI, and plenty of other formats like HTML, CSS, JS, JSON, XML, and KML to something ending with text, and open it in their nearest text editor. If this makes you giddy, a KMZ file is actually a zip file with a KML file inside, which is also true for several other file formats like .docx, to name one. Of course, that doesn't fix the issues of broken exports like Xlog appears to be doing, but at least it gets everyone on the same page. Word of caution, in most of these files, individual characters matter. Removing an innocuous space or quote might completely corrupt the file for software that is written for that file format, so tread carefully when you're editing. What other data wrangling issues have you come across? I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
Good morning, fellow amateurs. I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to Helpline for the 14th of April 2024. Unfortunately, we have no items this week because I don't have access to Roy's list. If you'd like to send items in for next week, please send it into newswest@vk6.net. I'll say our email address again, newswest@vk6.net. Thank you.
Hi there, it's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that NewsWest is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWest Weekly Podcast -Kilo Zulu 7 Yankee Charlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.